Confusion is in the air, my people. There is confusion about your real estate. I wish it weren't true because it need not be true, but there is much fear and anxiety and confusion about the real estates, Courtney. Lots of questions this week. Lots of
seems to be a constant theme.
But it wasn't always that way.
What is going on?
Let me ask you this. Do you remember post-COVID and what we would all just call the boom, how much certainty people actually had?
Yeah, now, weird.
They didn't love it, but you knew. If you were a buyer, what was going to happen to you in that run-up?
You were going to get
crushed, right? Yes. You were like, I want to buy. This is going to suck.
And if you were selling, it was like Christmas.
I'm going to write my phone number on a paper plate and tape
come
it to my mailbox and write a bazillion on it. And you better pay me and shine my shoes while you do it, right?
Offer me a boat.
There was certainty in the market, right? And so there weren't a lot of questions. Mm. By the way, it was not fun. Looking back, reminder, that was not fun. It was fun for sellers. It was terrible for buyers. It was not fun for agents. It was very difficult to put a transaction together where everybody was happy, right? Usually one party was really happy. And even that was annoying. Sometimes they would get 30 offers and have to kind of, if you're going to be ethical and responsible, have to respond to all those people, right?
Yeah, the leverage.
If you were a buyer, you were like, hold your nose and just run into the brawl, right? Now, where we are today is a lot of people are very confused and have lots of questions based on mixed information. We spent a lot of time on our show last weekend about just, in my opinion, garbage information by biased, terrible journalists. And then there's just confusion and legitimate, like, quality journalism that's also kind of confused or caught up in bad news sells and gets more attention and things seem bad.
Why did people feel like they had to buy? Why do you think the pressure was high? Oh, the interest rate
was very motivating.
Yes.
Well, need is a tough word, but people want to move and families are growing, careers are expanding, life has different demands and kids are aging into schools and people prioritize different school districts or areas. People are always sort of moving in America, right? Is what they have the ability to. So there's always a certain amount. B, interest rates were super attractive. And then C, I think the really smart people that bought then were like, this is not fun, but it's still better than waiting a few years. Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this. How many people right now do you know that don't wish they had bought?
Yeah, literally then? Everybody.
Even though it was super competitive and a lot of people felt like they were paying more than the house was currently worth, home values have continued to go up, even if at a slower pace, and rates are sometimes 2 to 3 times what they were then.
I just, you're starting this conversation exactly where I wanted to, because the conversation I'm hearing a lot lately is, how do you get into the home you actually want as fast as you can versus be like a first time home buyer? Like, you wish you would have leveled up sooner.
Yeah. We had a photographer, we did a big 20th anniversary party for our clients and team members last weekend. And we had, I don't know, 200 and something people in my backyard just eating crawfish and hanging out. And we had a photographer who I had never met before. And at the end of the party, she was very kind and said, this is magical. I can't believe the way you guys love on your clients, all that stuff. And then she said, we're maybe going to be buying soon. And I'm totally going to talk to you and Courtney. And I asked her a few questions. And basically that's what she said, is we're kind of waiting for like the right moment. Mm. And I just said, do you wish you had done this a year ago? And she was like, kinda. And I was like, do you wish you had done it 2 or 3 years ago? She's like, kinda. I was like, how do you think you're going to feel in another year or two? And she was like, oh. I was like, look, no pressure for me. We've been here 20 years. We'll be here in another 20 years. Yeah. But we're not twisting your arm when we say make a decision. Now, if your decision is we love the home we're already in, I talked to her about this too. I said, listen, if you really love where you are, it may be that you add on or convert a garage. Like, I'm not going to argue with people that they always have to buy so we can get a commission. But for a lot of people, that move would have been best when they initially got really fired up about it and had the ability. There are people waiting because they don't currently have the ability. They're saving money or they're, you know, I totally get that. I have legitimate compassion for you. Sometimes there's something I can do to help you more often than you would think. Other times there isn't. And it's like, I totally get it. Keep saving. We'll keep our eyes out. The people need to let us know about that now so we can help out. ToddDramaniTeam.com.
What's the tension between like pushing it a little bit to level up?
I'll answer that in a second. First segment brought to you by Patrick Glaros and his team over at ABC Bank. Go to PatrickGlaros.com, G-L-A-R-O-S, PatrickGlaros.com. That's what I do. My wife and I have always done for every single time we've ever gotten a residential mortgage. It was with Patrick Glaros and his team. PatrickGlaros.com, ABC Bank. Okay, your question is like, when should a person or a family push it a little bit to go ahead and get into the home? Okay, I'm going to try to make this as short as possible because this is radio and not, you know, a conversation at a crawfish party. Almost every time you should do that.
Mm.
Now, there's this whole world
of
like,
I don't think you're wrong.
There's this whole world of like CPAs that are like, go ahead and buy a bigger house. Just get yourself into that. There's going to be all these tax benefits. And I do not agree with that. Do not get yourself into a situation that's going to hamper your family's financial future. That is not what I'm saying. But for example, let's just say you're in a three-bedroom house and you just had baby number three or whatever, and you're like, this house feels really cramped. I know that's a first world thing. People live in, you know, teepees and huts all over the world. We don't need more, but we really want more and we can afford more. And we think that would be a blessing to our family and our marriage and our parenting and our kids' education and our hosting and all these things. That's when you do it. If you can afford it and you really are motivated and you really want to do it, 97, let's say, out of 100 times, that's the best time to do it.
It's pretty high.
There are some exceptions. That's why I'm not going to say 100 out of... There are some times where you're like, man, someone got sick, someone lost a job. I'm really glad you didn't put yourself in that situation. But I'm telling you, you still need a buffer, a margin. There may be some other things you sacrifice, but a house is more than an ROI, return on investment, financial decision. As a matter of fact, when it's your family's home, I think the investment you make in it is way more for marriage, family, parenting, education, social, health, connection, faith, all the things that happen in a home. I think most real estate agents, there's some, and a lot of people, this wasn't true when I started my career 20-something years ago. Probably wasn't even true 12, 15 years ago. It's really common now. The people are overemphasizing financial investment aspects of a home. That's obviously still important. But they're making decisions only on interest rate or only on what the news is saying, as opposed to what would be best for you and your family, and then third and third only, your finances. So I know we have a bunch of questions to get to today, so we're going to try to create some space to rapid fire
some of
those.
I do like that you challenged the idea that this isn't just shelter. It is, and that is where the investment goes further and why you wish you would have leveled up. If you can have more vision for your family and how you will gather there and be.
Absolutely. Look, I don't ever want to put a client into a situation that's bad financially. But believe it or not, a lot of people are just looking for our team to kind of give them permission to do what they want to do for their family. It's like, man, we'd love to have that big backyard for the kids to run and play. And, you know, we can homeschool out there or, you know, whatever. We can just socialize more. But it feels like we don't have to have that. And I don't know if that property is going to sell for more 10 years from now. It's like, hey, do you go on vacations? Yeah, we go on vacations a couple times a year. Are you looking for a financial ROI on that? I mean, that's a really expensive thing to do if you only think about it as a financial ROI. Like, yeah, do you guys have cars? Yeah, we have cars. Do you have more than just get from point A to point B cars? Yeah, yeah, we do that. We have pretty nice cars. Why? It's a terrible financial ROI. But we've gotten to where we only think of our houses, not everybody, but a lot of people now, is like, what can I buy it for? What can I sell it for? What was the rate? What was the payment? Aside from financial stewardship, which I'm a huge fan of, actually biblical financial stewardship, right? You should not waste resources. We should use them for long-term impact. But also, your house is way more than sticks and bricks and beds and bath and what did you buy it for and what could you sell it for? It's where you're going to have really hard conversations. It's where you're going to kind of hunker down and shelter in the hardest times in life. It's where you're going to celebrate your highest highs with friends and family and neighbors. It's where you're going to invite people in. It's where you're going to cultivate marriage and parenting and education and careers and all these things. So the ROI is way more than financial. And I'm not saying go buy the biggest house you can. I'm saying when you are motivated to make a move, that's almost always the best time to do it. People almost always, I'm just picked 97 out of 100, but it's dramatic majority, regret not making those moves sooner. And oftentimes people do that too late. And then they end up kind of in the wrong home later, wishing they had been in the right home longer earlier. So we can move on. We've made the point very clearly. But one other thing really quickly, one of the costs of homeownership right now that's really got people kind of wound up is insurance. And so you need to have someone you trust help you with that. It might not always make it cheaper, although DP Lambert and Goosehead Insurance have saved me money or been my most affordable option every time for the last, I don't know how many years. I think it's 6 or 7 years, maybe longer. But if he's not, they'll tell you that. dp.lambert@goosehead.com, dp.lambert@goosehead.com. Just email him or go to our website, toddtremontiteam.com. Click on the radio tab. You'll find DP's information and a bunch of the other pros that we talked to here. But you need to make sure you have the right coverage and, of course, at the most affordable price you can. But that's another place where cheaper is not always better. We're finding a lot of people going online and just going for absolute cheapest. And then hail comes through and they realize they didn't have the best coverage. Or a flood comes through, they didn't have the best coverage. Or their kiddo gets in a car accident, and they didn't have the best coverage because they tried to save $40 a month. Now it's going to cost them $4,000. So dp.lambert@goosehead.com. You got to make sure insurance is dialed in, home and auto, or housing may not work out well. So we had a bunch of questions. Let's get to as many of those as we can. What do you think?
Well, we are the Todd Tremonti Home Selling Team.
That's true.
Which makes you the broker. Mm-hmm. What is the difference between an agent and a broker?
Great question.
Like, I don't even, are you going to sell my house?
Let me give you the shortest answer. Technically speaking, as far as the difference in the license, an agent has to be sponsored by and supervised by a broker. That's the primary difference. So think about like, in generations ago, you would have somebody that would sort of apprentice for someone else. That's kind of the model. Like the broker is the overall responsible party and the agent is an agent of the broker. They represent the broker. So the broker technically has the clients, even if an agent went out and got their own client. Like they're bringing a client to the brokerage, which is led out and operated by the broker. And the agent is a representative of the broker and the brokerage. They are an agent of the brokerage, right?
Is this just protection so that
it's
just
for the protection of the consumer.
Joe
it's
to Schmo make sure, can't be my agent.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have to have been an agent longer and have X amount of transactions and experience and education and sort of liability coverage and those kinds of things to be a broker. Then the agent operates underneath the supervision and a lot of the administrative executive stuff of the broker. So most people work directly with an agent, but a broker can also, and very often does, also go out and work directly with clients. When you get into an organization sort of like our level, we operate more like a boutique law firm or accounting firm where there are different roles and layers. It's not just every man or woman for themselves. Everyone just trying to sell anything to anyone anywhere. There's specialization. And so in our model, you have broker, you have leadership staff that are not outside sales agents, and then you have agents who work with sellers and agents who work with buyers and agents who work with sellers on the Dallas side and agents who only work with buyers on the Fort Worth side. So the client gets more value and more focus and more attention through that specialization of roles. But the biggest difference is that it's a different license, and the broker license requires more education, more experience, more time, and supervision of the agents.
Well, and so that is your focus versus actually being selling or buying.
So I was solo for a while. I led a team for a while. I owned a franchise for a while. I've been a broker for a little over 20 years now. That's kind of the 20-year anniversary of the team. As soon as I became a broker, I brought on some help, and that was the beginnings of the team. I was an independent before that, solo agent before that. But the answer is some brokers just operate independently, just like they were a solo agent. They don't sponsor any agents. Some brokers, a traditional brokerage, like a lot of the ones you've seen billboards and things, their business is more about, we have as many agents as we can. Those agents pay the brokerage to work there. Okay. So the brokerage is kind of in a couple of businesses. They're in the recruiting business. They're in the retention of agents business. They're in the collecting of fees business. And then they are also hoping their agents sell a lot of houses and then they earn some income from the resourcing those agents. That's when it all works right and everybody is on the same team. Some brokerages are just kind of fee models where they're like, I don't really care if these agents sell a bunch of houses. They're just going to pay me to work here. Mm-hmm. Other brokerages can only be profitable if their agents are selling a bunch of houses. Our model here at the Tatramani Home Selling Team is pretty rare and unique. Our agents don't pay a single penny to work here. If you're a new agent and you want to work here, reach out, let us know. But we have high expectations of them to be educated, full-time, fully committed, and provide world-class value to our clients. So we're not a place for part-time agents. We're not a place for agents who want to sell one or two or three houses. We're a place for people that want to be full-time, sell a lot of houses and deliver a ton of value and work really hard, but also have great impact in the world, make great income, and love the people they work with because they work with other people interdependently. They're not, you know, solo agents doing their own thing all the time.
Why do you prefer this model?
I think the client gets a better experience. They get an absolute expert. So let's just take a medical example, right? So if you had a heart issue, what kind of doctor would you go to?
A cardiologist.
Why?
My heart. He's an expert on my heart.
That's the whole answer. Mm. If you want to buy a house,
an expert.
Could a great, super smart, hardworking agent that works with anyone do a good job for you? Sure, they could. Are they as likely to do that as someone who only works with buyers in your part of town and they work with like 20 to 40 a year mm-hmm. compared to the average agent that works with 3 a year and probably does a seller here and there, a little bit of residential, maybe a commercial if an opportunity comes up, maybe some industrial, maybe a lot, maybe works with a builder here or there, as opposed to the agent you're now working with on the Tatramani Home Selling Team that's going to sell 26 buyers in the, you know, Richardson, Allen, Plano, North Dallas area, all buyers, all in that area. They do not do industrial or commercial or raw land. They do neighborhoods and small acreage properties in your area all day, every day, full time. And they have a staff behind them, technology behind them, a marketing system that includes radio and television and internet. And I think the client comes out light years ahead. By the way, we track it and they do come out mm-hmm. way ahead financially and experientially. And then they want to show up and hang out at crawfish parties because they actually have a relationship and there's value way beyond the sale.
You've talked about solo agents, but we are a team. Mm-hmm. So what actually is a real estate team?
That's a really good question. So we have done literally 16-hour trainings on this, 8-hour days, 2 days in a row on, we actually host an event every year, usually in February. Last year was actually in November, called Team Scale Live, where we have a coaching and consulting company also, where we train agents all over North America. And one of the things we help them do is build and scale their teams. And the first hour of this 2-day training is, what is a team? So the answer is, a team could be all sorts of different things. There's no one definition. Our definition, we basically just described without describing the staff part, is that we have specialized agents who only work with buyers or only work with sellers, usually in one geography, and we basically specialize in two property types, neighborhood homes and desirable neighborhoods where people really want to live, and then small acreage properties, or what we call homes on land, big backyard properties, 1 to 10 acres, space to roam and play and have privacy and all that. Now, that is my definition of a team. Full-time agents who want to sell 4, 5, 6, 7 times the average in our state, make a great living, band together to have massive, incredible impact locally and then globally. We love to do business to support young people who have needs, food, shelter, education, spiritual faith stuff. So that's what we're passionate about. That's why we band together and work really, really hard. Some people would say a team is people who all use kind of the same source of leads, or they share the copier, or they're all under one company name, or they use the same logo. I'm not saying that's not a team, but that's not what we mean by team. So team has a very broad definition. I would say it generally means agents working together with some shared resources, but there are very loosely connected teams, and then there are extremely connected teams. There's a team of 2, and there's a team of 82. Mm-hmm.
We're
very careful about how we do that.
Yeah. We're a good fit for someone who wants to be connected and be about more than just selling houses.
Yeah. For the agent, someone that wants to have an impact, make a great income, and be world class. I'm not criticizing any one person, but there's a lot of agents all over the country that they net being world class is not part of their model. It's like, I want to help my friends and family sell a house. I want to make commission when I can. And I want to be really, really sweet and kind and helpful through the process. That's probably much more the norm. No bad intentions, no shadiness, just like not excellence. Mm. Not excellence because there's not a lot of help. There's not a lot of systems and structure and resources. There's not a lot of continuity. There's not a lot of consistency, but there is warmth and intention. That's better than being a jerk. But transactionally, sometimes it's not much better, right? So we believe the team model is here to stay, especially in the future of technology and a lot of the disruption in our industry. Well, obviously, we believe our team model is best for the client. We also think it's really great for an agent. If you're an agent, you're thinking about getting into the business, you're less than 2 years with a real estate license, reach out, let us know. 214-310-0008. You can call or text 214-310-0008. Or you can go to our website, toddtremonteteam.com. There's a careers page and there's a little very simple three-step process to apply to the team. toddtremonteteam.com, click the careers tab. Now, if you're thinking about buying or selling and you would like a full-time specialized agent like that to help you instead of like your friend or the sweet person in the neighborhood that kind of works out of the car or the dining room table, which, you know, I like the hustle. I just don't think that's world-class in most cases. Then if you're thinking about buying or selling, that's the kind of agent you would want. We'd love to introduce you to the ones here on our team that I personally lead, mentor, coach, train along with the rest of our team. You can call or text 214-310-0008, or you can go online to toddtremonteteam.com as well. You can also just Google Todd Tremonte. You'll find like a bazillion links in places. You can email any email, fill out any form, text or call any phone number. We'll take great care of you. We've been here for 20 plus years. We're going to be here for 20 plus more years. We're not going to rush you, but we may give you some very direct information about why waiting is expensive or why rushing too quickly can be really damaging as well. So let's figure that out together. No charge. We do free strategy sessions for people all the time, usually on Zoom or in person, phone if we have to. It's not best, but we can do it. 214-310-0008 or toddtremonteteam.com. Any other questions on the list for right now?
Well, no more questions, but I wanted you to talk about our brand new summer fun guide.
Listen,
it's 2025.
I got to be careful right now because I don't have time.
Hot off the press.
To say all the things I want to say about it. It is freaking awesome. Listen to me, people. Lean in. If you are going to be in Dallas or Fort Worth, Texas this summer, you need one of these things.
It's free.
It's incredible. Now, I can't promise you a print copy because those go so fast. But if you go to the website right now, toddtremonteteam.com, there's a banner on the top that I think right now says request one. You can get a digital copy 100% for free. The print copies typically go really fast to our past clients.
No, it's ready. Check it out. Click on it. It's right there.
toddtremonteteam.com. You click on that and then you just kind of request one and we'll send you a digital magazine version quality. A version of the summer fun guide. Y'all, it's going to tell you how to have an incredible summer. It is so visually appealing. And I'm just going to take a second and say, Courtney, well done.
Well, thank
Robert
you.
Robert's
the MVP.
Robert carries the load on this thing, but I can see your fingerprints.
We are together.
It is absolutely beautiful. And it's not just a cool looking thing to have. There are things on food traditions throughout the summer, road trips to take, places to go enjoy for free, places to go to enjoy with a fair budget. We're going to talk more about the Summer Fun Guide when we come back after the break. But if you want a copy of the Todd Tremonte Home Selling Team Dallas-Fort Worth Summer Fun Guide, completely free, go to toddtremonteteam.com from your phone or laptop or tablet or whatever right now. toddtremonteteam.com, very top of the page. Request one. We'll get you a digital copy right away. Hey, we'll be right back after the break. We have a lot to talk about. Lots going on at the DFW airport. How's it going to impact your real estate in Dallas-Fort Worth? We'll talk about it right after the break. Welcome back, party people. Welcome back. Thanks for hanging out with us. DFW Airport is adding a terminal with twice as many gates as previous terminals. Now, Courtney's got some concerns over safety.
I mean, it just doesn't, I'm not like loving flying right now. It doesn't, it feels a little crowded, a little packed in the air, a little not enough eyeballs
in the air able or at to the manage. Airport.
It just feels like a lot of traffic, Todd. It feels like a lot of traffic.
But here's my question.
Coming and going.
When you watched Back to the Future when you were a kid, didn't you envision lots of like hoverboard traffic all over town?
Yeah, I thought we'd be in cars, which that feels...
Flying cars?
Even more harder.
I'm just saying it's a brave new world out there, Ian.
Yeah.
It's a brave new world out there. And DFW is trying desperately to stay... current with the rate of growth, and by DFW I do mean the city and the airport. I will say I don't love the amount of construction there, but the point of what we're saying is that our local area is growing rapidly. Now, does the airport growth mean that, or does it mean that just more people are flying through in and out of DFW? Both can be true. Okay, so let me say this.
Sounds like somebody wants more money. That's what it sounds like.
Everybody wants more.
Did you know that actually is a flying car?
I have
seen it.
It's already been developed.
I've seen a couple versions of them. Some, I think it's generous to call them a car, but I've seen some that are pretty impressive.
On Mr. Beast.
There was one on the Grand Tour TV show.
Hydrogen or something like that?
No, I mean, it drove into the airport and then took off, and then it was the first car to be able to fly from airport to a different airport. Yeah. As opposed to just flying and landing.
But they won't let it be street legal or something like that, the one I saw.
Yeah, I'm not sure. They're working on it.
Anyway, not quite Back to the Future, but you never know. Here's the story. The story is the DFW airport is can't grow fast enough for all the demand. What does that mean for Dallas-Fort Worth area real estate? Well, we believe that it coincides with significant movements to the area. The corporate headquarters, development, theme parks, World Cup... just incredible growth still, even in what has been for three-ish years now, a slower growth economy, slower growth. Let me take that back. I'm not going to say economy. Slower growth residential real estate marketplace. Still one of the healthiest ones in the nation, but less overall transactions, less overall excitement and optimism. But this is just right in line with the fact that people are absolutely still moving here. People are doing business here. People are traveling here. And so we can tell you with near certainty that this means property values in DFW are going to continue to rise. The value of land in DFW is going to continue to rise. And the inventory issue in DFW, meaning that there's still really not a ton of housing inventory. There's definitely more than there was, you know, in this rampant long-running seller's market, especially post-COVID. But we believe this is just another headline supporting the idea that DFW will continue to be one of the hottest residential real estate markets. And by hottest, we means most active, strongest values, healthy place to invest. We haven't even gotten into the topics of what huge hedge funds and investment funds are doing, which is buying and building more real estate and keeping more of it. So you got that going, which is nice. Now, who's bringing us this segment here?
I mean, I want to say it's Patrick Laris and his phenomenal team at ABC Bank.
Patrick.
I love Patrick. He's awesome. They all are. Everyone over there is great. But yeah, Patrick Laris. You can go to patricklaris.com if you are looking to take out a mortgage, maybe refinance. You have questions. You can start your application for a mortgage directly on that website, patricklaris.com. NMLS number 308804.
Nailed it, I think. You know, I think you really got that one. Now, I know you're pretty excited about our misleading headline of the day.
Oh, you know I love a headline.
You had so many to choose from because lately they're all pretty misleading. Last week, we were pretty direct about terrible sources of news and activist journalists. But today, we've just got a good old-fashioned clickbaity headline for you.
Pretty solid.
Oh, he's
Ian
ready.
Was excited about
he's
this.
Warming his voice up.
Woo. Ready?
Yes.
What? In 233 U.S. cities, even a starter home costs $1 million.
Okay, say that one more time just so people can be appropriately terrified by the intentionally alarming headline.
Yeah, I mean, I am sorry for bringing the fear here, but in 233 cities across the United States, a starter home costs $1 million.
I like this part of the quote. a lasting effect of pandemic era price growth.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about that in the first half.
Here's my favorite, my next favorite part. You ready? Hyphen. Nationwide, it's attainable, though.
I mean, is it because... Oh, no, wait. Yep. Hold on. Yep. First paragraph. While the typical starter home nationwide is worth an attainable $192,000, there are 233 cities where it costs more than a million. Now, I'm fairly certain that in the US, we have substantially more than 233 cities.
Notably more. Now, look.
250, 260 million.
Here's the thing. We're so critical of headlines here, as we should be. We feel like our role is to be an advocate for DFW homeowners and home sellers and people that want to own, buy and sell, invest in real estate and DFW. So we're going to continue to be advocates for the consumer.
Well, and one reason that we do that, and I said this to our team this week, was a lot of people don't have the time to be able to click on articles and to be able to read all the articles. So they're scrolling, they're scrolling, they're scrolling, and all they're reading is the headline. It's not their fault. They just don't have time to be able to read a bunch of articles.
They don't have expertise. And honestly, if you're not actively in the moment of buying or selling, why would you, right? Like, this is just real estate. Then there's stocks. Then there's healthcare.
Well,
then
that's what adds to the chaos and the confusion. Yeah.
And a lot of the headline doesn't always resonate 100%. So if you read a headline that says 233 cities, a starter home costs $1 million, what stands out there is a starter home costs $1 million.
Yeah. And I'm renting
and
forever.
And it sounds like a lot of cities. Now, those cities are typically named like, you know, San Diego, you know, Cardiff by the Sea, you know, Palm Beach. Think about the number of those cities you could rattle off really quick. Highland Park. Okay. Yeah. Well, nothing wrong with that. People already knew most of that. But when the headline is worded that way, it's intended to sort of, you know, create at least some anxiety that this is a really, really bad thing. And it may be in some areas. But in reality, in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas right now, you absolutely still can get a nice starter home within what I would call a reasonable price range. Now, is it like a warm and fuzzy, oh my gosh, I can't believe we can get a house that cheap? Probably not, depending on where you're living. Now, if you say we need a starter home, this is the budget, and we're willing to live just about anywhere as long as it's nice and safe, we can do that for you all day long. Now, when I was kind of in my starter home phase, you could do that under $200,000. I'm sorry, but there's not a lot of those left in DFW. If you're willing to go an hour and a half away from the city center, we could probably find you a couple of those. It's probably more likely in the 300s now. That's just life, and it's unfortunate if you can't afford that right now. Keep fighting. There are creative ways to work your way towards that outcome. If you can't afford it, you know, I'd say go now before that number is even more later. We just gave you tons of reasons in the first half of the show and already in this part that's probably not going to go down really with any predictability in any sustainable way.
Well, one thing that's interesting is they actually tell you how many cities was in 2024 and 2020. The difference between 24 and 25 is like 20 cities.
Yeah.
And most of the states, it breaks down by state, they stayed the same.
Yep.
Texas in 2024 had 7 cities. Mm-hmm. And guess what? In 2025, we have 7 cities.
Imagine that. And we probably could name them all right now.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. We're not saying that's not true. We're saying just be careful where you get your opinions from, what data you base your feelings off of. Because what they've done for a lot of people, especially over the last 3 years, is cause a lot of people who could afford to make a move, who really wanted to make a move, to not make the move out of fear or anxiety or honestly kind of this idea that they don't want to do something dumb or they don't want to look stupid to other people. When in reality, those 2 or 3 years of waiting have probably cost those people 8 to 10% at least in property value and potentially tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars in interest payments based on mortgage changes. Mm. Now, what we can tell you without certainty, but with great confidence, is that pretty much every rolling 3-year period, certainly of my 20 plus year career, people have wished they had made the move sooner. So we can sit down with you and talk through whether that may be true for you, or you might be one of the rare exceptions that is not true for. but you need to have that conversation. If you want to buy or sell or invest in real estate, have a free conversation that requires no obligation with a full-time, fully dedicated, world-class expert on the Todd Tremonti Home Selling Team. 214-310-0008, and we'll get something scheduled, ideally in person, worst case by Zoom. Phone's okay, but it's really not best. 214-310-0008. You can call or text. You should just have that saved in your phone for any real estate needs ever. 214-310-0008. Or you can find us online at toddtremontiteam.com. At the website, you can find out what your home would sell for in under a minute. You just click the home value tab. You can search any house online by any agent in DFW. You can find out your home buyer readiness score. Are you ready? You can find out what it would look like to sell your house, and you can also connect with an agent if you're ready to do that, all at toddtremontiteam.com. All right, so 233 cities in the nation, 7 in the state of Texas, where it takes $1 million to get a starter home. But there are some areas in DFW, Ian, we were talking about this actually before the show, that this sounds crazy, and I can think of some times I've done this on the show, Courtney, so feel free to call anything out here, but where I've said, that sounds not as far away as it used to be.
Right.
Which sounds insane. You're like, what? Wait, did the town move? And you're like, no, but you can get there quicker than you used to get there. Or like the pace of life and the speed to get places has changed enough that feels different now. And I know we've talked about that like for Weatherford before. We're like, golly, Weatherford used to, it was like, that is not part of DFW. That is way out west. And now it's like, no, it's just really cool, like just outside of the ring of Fort Worth. Incredible place to live.
I remember when we were looking at moving in 2015-ish.
Yeah, yeah. Great.
Saxey Wiley fell so far.
Oh, yeah. Well, when we bought, and we bought on the edge, we deliberately bought on what was the edge at that time, knowing we were probably like the last people that would think of it as the edge. Mm-hmm. It's been 11 or 12 years. We're definitely not the edge anymore, right? That's okay. But you were asking before the show, you can word it however you wanted, kind of like, well, what's the next edge? Or say it how you said it.
Yeah, so it stemmed from what you were talking about earlier with the airport growth mm-hmm. that's happening, and how I think it's important that as more companies are moving here, more, you know, Universal is moving here, airports are saying, hey, we need more space yep. because of the amount of people that we're going to have coming through Texas. One of the things that always makes me sad is when somebody reaches out to us here at the team and says, hey, I moved to so-and-so 6-7 years ago,
yep.
and it was really quaint and quiet at the time, yep. and it's not that anymore. Like, it's yep. changed, and that's not what we really want to live in. Like, we want to have the space and the, yep. like, we don't want it to feel like we're living in a city. So my question was, hey, what are some of those places now that people need to think about where they're saying, oh, let's go move here because we can get... it's not going to feel like a just a rush of cars. There's not going to be a ton of traffic. You know, we've got to drive a little bit to go and get groceries and stuff like that. But that's yeah. fine because we have more space and we have more freedom and yep. we don't have the smog and all this other stuff. What are some of those places that in 6-7 years ago, yep. 6-7 years from now, might not feel that way?
Yeah. Anymore? So a couple things. Obviously, we really specialize in generally two types of properties. We can help people with a lot of things. We only do residential, but we primarily do desirable neighborhoods and homes on land, meaning small acreage properties. And so this is very common in the small acreage thing where you're like, hey, we got 2 acres right on the edge. It feels like we kind of live in the country, but it's more of a suburb. But really, I can get in town for a date night or an activity or a show or something. So it's kind of best of all worlds. That's the type of property specifically that they say a lot of what you just said. Hey, we moved here and it was best of all worlds, and now it's kind of just one world. Like, mm-hmm. we're in town. Now, one thing I would say is we can help you find the areas where that will not happen that fast, right? And 6 or 7 years is pretty quick. We can help you find the areas where it may be 20 years. You may get to fully enjoy that for while your children are young and you're in that certain life stage. And then we can help you swap that out for something else when you're in a different life stage. A lot of people want to live on a couple acres while the kids are in elementary, junior high, and high school, maybe young adulthood. And then when the kids are fully established, they kind of actually want to move back in town sometimes. They're like, walk to restaurants and go to more shows, and we're not entertaining as much. There's every version of that, right? But the point is, we can help you find that with more runway to enjoy that home for longer periods of time. And a couple places that come to mind in that type of situation are like Sherman, Texas, for example. So a lot of people would know where Sherman is, just due north of Dallas on Central, on 75, right? So north of McKinney, north of Allen, right? But enough, far enough up, especially when you get off the highway, if you were to buy, let's just say you had a 5-acre property there, there are parts of Sherman right now that are going to feel like you're in the country. And in 10 or 12 years, they might feel like you're in kind of suburban. But it may be 20 or 30 years before that really feels like, oh, man, we're in town. McKinney felt that way 25 or 30 years ago. You know, oh, some brand new big developments out there. But still lots of space and things like that, right? What,
was there a place where I can, like, see the developments that are coming? Like, how do you guys know this information? Just buzz?
Well, this is our job, right? We're reading and watching and learning everything. And we've got agents that are in and out of these markets with clients all the time. And we're a really connected team, like we talked about in the first half of the show, sharing information all the time. Now, you could go to our website. You could go to toddtremonteteam.com right now, and you can do a map search. So you could literally say, okay, my budget is 450 max, but I want 4 bedrooms and a pool. Okay, and I would really like to have more than an acre or whatever you want. Put that in and then only search it on the map, and you can zoom out a good bit. You can't zoom out like all the way, but you could do chunks of the Metroplex and go, hey, where are those properties? Okay, they're over there. Zoom in. Ooh, yeah, but they're really, there's a Walmart right behind that. I don't want that. Or, oh, there's a Target right around the corner. I do want that, right? So that's a good way to do it. It's just on a map where you can see price and bedrooms and bathrooms and lot size and all that kind of stuff. School district, even if you want, and then determine, wow, how far from congested traffic and development is that? And then honestly, the best way is to jump on a call or a Zoom or get in, sit down with one of our agents and go, hey, at the rate of things right now, you probably got 15 years before that thing's going to feel like, you know, busy traffic.
I have a fun little game for us to play, folks.
Oh boy.
Sherman sounds like it's really far away, correct?
To me right now,
Sherman feels like it's really far away.
I think it's
like
in Oklahoma.
I'm going to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Right?
100.
Now, we've talked a lot before about how it used to be that Dallas itself was kind of the central hub of the kind of Metroplex area, right? But that we've talked about how Frisco is kind of becoming that because everything's moving north in terms of growth.
At least becoming another one.
Correct.
Yeah.
So how long does it take to get from Sherman to Frisco?
32 minutes, I'm guessing.
Okay.
It's probably less than
41.
That. From Frisco all the way, it's probably
you
less than 30.
You gotta go over and up.
Yeah, there's a little
it's
down
for,
and over.
49 minutes.
Yeah! Okay. Nice.
How long does it take to get from Allen to Dallas?
Same.
37.
It's not the same, but it was 39 minutes.
Yeah.
Look at me.
Yeah, you're
learning real estate.
I mean, like, I'm trying to say that because it's like, hey, Allen doesn't feel like it's very, like, oh, I can go to Dallas. Like, yeah, I can go to a Mavs game or whatever. But, like, Sherman to Frisco, you're like, wow. Oh, wait, it's like an extra 7 minutes.
And you make an excellent point. For those that haven't been to the YouTube channels and seen much
out
of the hard work of Courtney, go to toddtremonteteam.com and click the videos tab. But we've got a lot of content on that idea that, you know, to your point, people used to move to Richardson and commute to Dallas or move to Allen and commute to Dallas. And now a lot of people are moving to Sherman to commute to Frisco or Sherman to commute to McKinney, which is great. There are jobs up there. There is an entire cultural community up there where there's parks and recreation and arts and sports with the Rough Riders and all kinds of cool stuff. And so you can live there and be 30, 40 minutes north of there, save money, get more land, get more space, get more property, get more privacy, get more quiet. But the crux of your question was, where can I move and I have a buffer? Sherman's far enough to get you a buffer for probably another decade or so. Sherman is not nothing, though. It's not the middle of nowhere. It's a very cool community that's been established for a long time as a smaller community that is growing, but will likely not be Frisco in another 10 years. It will be bigger than it is now. There will be more shopping, more restaurants, more opportunities. They've got some great educational stuff there with Austin College and other options. It is also...
It's north of McKinney, correct?
It's north, yes. Straight north on Central.
So do you think McKinney is the next Frisco?
McKinney is in many ways a sister city to Frisco that's done a lot of what Frisco has done. But because of Frisco's proximity to Plano and the West, it's had a little bit more corporate job growth. But don't sleep on McKinney. McKinney's got both, you know, big developments like Austin Ranch and golf, and there's some employment hubs. And then it's also kind of got Old Town McKinney, downtown, and that charm that starts to bleed out east towards Princeton and Farmersville and all that kind of stuff.
I've made it known that I only went to downtown McKinney for the first time like 2 years ago.
And loved it, right?
It was really cool. I went back there. We went to a little comedy show in downtown McKinney.
Look at you.
In a, it was maybe holds like 24 people. Yeah. It was so fun.
Did
people
love it.
But let me just say, McKinney's hilarious. A big deal. We've done whole shows on the McKinney Airport and adding there. So that's going to blow up for sure. But McKinney's got a little different vibe and wants to maintain a little different vibe than Frisco, right? So Frisco just has like seemingly unending retail restaurant type development, where McKinney's fought to hold a little bit more like master plan neighborhood community. They also have plenty of great restaurants and development as well. So they're similar in many, many, many ways. But the answer to your question, just one answer, would be Sherman. There are definitely others depending on which direction you want to go. Nevada, I talk about here a lot. I think that's kind of a sleeper just out east past Wiley. But right there at the lake, and you could get into town, whether town is Dallas or Richardson or McKinney or whatever, quicker than you could from Frisco. A lot of times people are going to argue with that and say, oh, it's not quicker, but it usually is with traffic and everything. Yet you can get a much more affordable starter home out near the lake with some land, with all the resources of Wiley, Saxe, Murphy, Lucas, you know, all that kind of good stuff. It's like the edge next to a bunch of really popular suburbs, which are next to a bunch of really dense cities.
You do have some good options with everything we just mentioned.
Oh, yeah. West Fort Worth, there's a bunch. South, there's a bunch. We talked about North. We can do more of this. If you want more information on things like that to make a move within the Metroplex or to the Metroplex, reach out, give us a call, 214-310-0008, 214-310-0008. Now, when it comes to title companies.
Oh, yeah. Republic
when it
Title.
Comes to title.
Let's go.
Who do you love?
I love Republic Title.
Who do you not love?
Everybody else.
There it is. Republic
I'm
Title.
I'm sure there's some nice people out there, but.
No, that's the way
title
that's
is where it's at.
When that's the way it works transactionally in our office. It's like they just do a phenomenal job and they're great people. Tons of really good resources at republictitle.com. If you're buying or selling or refinancing and you're talking to an agent or a lender or anybody, just say, hey, I'd like to check out Republic Title because I hear they're excellent, because they are in fact excellent. republictitle.com. If you're thinking about buying or selling, just go to toddtremontiteam.com. There's no weather forecast or weird stuff there. There's just a bunch of great real estate information. Find out what your home would sell for right now. Track your equity. Get a cash offer. Search all homes for sale by all agents online in DFW. Find your home buyer readiness score. Track your equity. Or apply for a job. We're looking for some great new team members in both Dallas and Fort Worth. We can get you radio leads, TV leads, internet leads, repeat referral clients. And you can join us where we hang out with our clients and our friends at giant crawfish parties or ball games or ice cream parties. If you don't have a summer fun guide yet, you are already behind. Go to toddtremontiteam.com right up top. You can click the link and get a digital summer fun guide right now. If you have a chance to get a physical one, though, they are absolutely gorgeous. They're going to make your summer incredible. toddtremontiteam.com.